doorways in the front of the building. If people, hopefully in the neighborhood, will walk or bike over, walk with their kids over, and maybe more, being more welcoming to the community might be something that the community would appreciate. So I would ask that the board also consider whether another hearing or another way to gather more community input could be used. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandy. Anyone else?
I'm here, sorry, I'm aware. I live back off Mennonite Church there. I'm here about two things. This rain tax that you are putting on, I think that's a big joke, and I want to take it off my way. I was told I had the state there, the federal, and I think he was even on some of the national council. And my 20 acres, I don't have any water that's causing tax that should be taxed, because my water is all controlled. And I showed these people that came out the extent of money that I put in that property to control that water. I was admired. They said nobody does things like that. And even the township people, maybe I'll stick it to me, but it usually puts on cold death here. So I like that rain tax sticking off of my bill, because it's not right. And I don't feel it's justified. And another thing is, the Constitution of the United States states in there, you cannot tax someone or put a burden on someone if they did no wrong. I didn't do any wrong, and that's why I shouldn't have to pay this tax. And another statement I'll make is, these people are talking about cheats. You and I have a privilege to go into the gas station and buy what you want. I don't know why they're carrying about cheats. I mean, just because it's cheap, I'm tall for it. You have a choice to go anywhere you want. I go where I want to put gas, and so do you or anyone else. So I don't know why that's such a big issue.
Thank you, drop your pen.
Thank you.
No, that wasn't my pen.
I didn't have a pen. That's
okay.
Hi, Rich Campbell, 39 Hawkins Road. I want to thank the chief for having the intent to call me about the problem. I could have got you, John. Got you, John. You were worried. I saw it.
I sweat.
I know. I'll get you in the next room. Okay. I want to thank the chief for having the intent to come around. But the problem is still existing. I spent the other night here, 6:30 in the morning, from 5 to about 7 o'clock during the evening for 3 or 4 days. One of the recommendations I make is the other sign says do not block intersection. If you're familiar with Hockersville, North Hockersville Road, and right where the sign is, there's Reese Avenue that goes down, I think they call it 2nd Street. Anytime when Reese lets out, that intersection is blocked. So somebody's coming heading west of 422 and wants to turn off to go up Reese Avenue, it doesn't happen. They actually back up on Berman Road, 322 heading west. If they could draw a line, like they have out on Middletown Road, the traffic light is like 50 feet away, and they have this white line, stop here for light. That would always keep that intersection open. Even when the trucks that are going to the milk factory or to the chocolate factory, they block there because they can't make that turn because the intersection is blocked, or people coming out of Reese's or trying to get to Reese's. There's always a congestion there. It's really a problem. So that's something to take a look at. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Gamble. Anyone else? Very good. Hearing none. Next on our agenda is the approval of meeting minutes for the public hearing of November 28, 2017. Is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Weir. Anyone?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel.
I wasn't here either.
How about Mr. Moyer? Hey, guess what? These next three meetings, it's us three. So, motion by Mr. Weir, second by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that'd be 3 yeas and 2 abstentions. Next on our agenda is the Board of Supervisors meeting for November 28, 2017. Is there a motion?
Moved
by Mr. Weir. Second by Mr. Moore. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that's the same 3-2 count. And finally, the December 5th Board of Supervisors meeting. Is there a motion? I'm confused. Who's getting the motion? Matt has the motion. Anyone want a second? Second by Susan Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. Next is our new business, item A 1 through 40, consideration of ordinance number 699 for the issuance of general obligation bonds series of 2018 in the estimated aggregate principal amount of $7.5 million on behalf of Derry Township Municipal Authority, and the approval of the Sixth Amendment to the subsidy agreement between the Township and the Municipal Authority. Mr. Nagel. Mr. Verdelli.
Good evening. While those are going around, just a quick recap of what the ordinance is authorizing. We were here back on November the 14th when you authorized the financing team to proceed with preparing for a township issue to finance approximately $5 million of capital projects for DTMA. So I have a real short summary to review with you. At the top of page one is the purpose of issue, a breakdown that the authority has put together of the $5 million planned capital projects: stormwater piping, inlet replacements, equipment for inspecting and characterizing stormwater piping, stormwater facilities for improvements to high priority areas, sewage sludge processing equipment, and I know one of the bigger ticket items is the digester biogas fired cogeneration unit. So that's the purpose of the borrowing. We have the township issuing this debt because it's the lowest cost way for the authority to borrow the money. As we talked about back in November, it will be a bank qualified issue by the township, and the part of the ordinance tonight authorizes the subsidy agreement between you and the municipal authority that causes the authority to be responsible for 100% of these payments. That's why the subsidy agreement is being updated with this Sixth Amendment. I will note that you heard the amount of $7.5 million. That is not the amount that will be issued. That is just a parameter that gives us maximum flexibility for when we price the bonds in January. Obviously, the amount that we are solving for is just to produce $5 million even for the authority's capital projects. So the financing will, when we actually price the bonds, will be some number just above $5 million. So this $7.5 is just a parameter. Once it's finalized, your bond council will put the final amount into the state to finalize that on their books. Schedule, as you see at the bottom, DTMA authorized the team to proceed back in November 13th. You authorized us on November the 14th. We were last week at the DTMA board meeting, so they have already approved their update to the subsidy agreement. So tonight, with your approval of the parameters ordinance, it will authorize the issuance of the bonds and the updating of that subsidy agreement between the two entities. We've scheduled the pricing for January the 9th to actually lock in the interest rates on the bonds, and the settlement is scheduled for February the 15th. That's when the issue will close and the funds will be available to the authority. Just last week, I commend your manager and your finance office. We had their credit rating call with S&P. About a one-hour call with three pages of questions that they had to respond to, and they did an excellent job. In fact, some of the questions they had already responded in advance. We got a lot of the answers to the analysts before we even had the rating call, so they did a great job talking about the things that are happening in the township right now, talking about future projects, and so we expect to hear back on Thursday. So we certainly expect the township's credit rating to be reaffirmed at the strong AA rating. As soon as we get that report, we'll circulate that so you'll be able to see the latest on the report. So that's the purpose of the ordinance. We're happy to answer any questions, and we're scheduled to hopefully be locking interest rates in for the authority's projects in early January.
Thank you, Mr. Verdelli. Are there any questions for Lou?
Just general knowledge that bank qualified, we can do up to $10 million a year. Is that
correct?
Correct. Okay. And so this, the amount that we get the amount that we ultimately borrow that counts towards that.
Exactly. Okay. Yes. So it'll be approximately $5 million of your $10 million for 2018 will be used.
Okay. And then the other debt, the 1.55, that's also bank qualified?
We're actually doing that on a taxable basis for a couple of reasons, so it doesn't count.
Okay. And we don't foresee any other borrowings that we're looking to do.
Not that I'm aware of in 2018.
Okay.
Any additional questions for Mr. Jelly? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Awesome.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion passed unanimously. Next on the agenda is B1 through 19, consideration of ordinance number 700 to authorize and direct the incurrence of a non-electoral debt through issuance of a federally taxable line of credit note series of 2018 in the maximum principal amount of $1,550,000. Mr. Mandan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At the November 14th Board of Supervisors meeting, authorization was granted to secure a drawdown loan for funding of professional services related to the Community Recreation Center project and the Chocolate Town Park East project. Lou's here to explain that transaction this evening.
Thank you.
On page one, we have a summary of the proposed bank loan. Again, this is a bank loan structured very similar to what we did this past summer for the Practice Avenue parking project. It's really the most efficient way to minimize interest expense in the township's budget and provide maximum flexibility for us as we move forward on this project. So again, the purpose is design engineering fees for Rec Center Chocolate Avenue Park project. The amount is $1,550,000 with a 10-year principal amortization schedule. It's structured as a drawdown basis, so we're only paying interest on whatever amount is drawn down. The fixed rate will be 3.83%. You'll see in a minute we did get proposals from several banks. The 3.83 was the most attractive rate. It's fixed for the entire 10-year life. We don't expect this to be outstanding for the entire 10-year life. One of the other things that we stressed in the RFP was the loan needed to be prepayable at any time, so that we have maximum flexibility that we can pay this off with an expected permanent financing whenever we get to that stage, so we can take this out. It's really just serving as an interim step to provide the funds to continue with the project. It is a taxable loan, as you heard in the description, and the purpose and the reason it's taxable is when we're using the money for things like fees rather than buying hard equipment. Under the tax code, we basically have to use taxable proceeds as opposed to tax exempt. So this is really just on a temporary basis. When we refinance this, we can issue typical tax-exempt bonds to refinance it. So it's just a taxable basis for right now. Again, it's a small amount. The taxable rate is a little bit higher than what a tax-exempt rate would be, but because of what we're using the funds for, legally, it has to be a taxable loan. Financing schedule, you authorized this on November the 14th. On the 29th, we circulated an RFP to the banks. The RFPs were due on Friday, and with your approval tonight, we've scheduled settlement for February 1 is when the funds would be available, and that was talking to Matt about timelines in terms of when some of these fees would be coming online, so that's why we have the settlement scheduled for February 1. On the second page, we have a summary of the five bank proposals that we received. We have them ranked by the column in the middle that's labeled maximum rate, and there you can see that First National Bank provided the lowest cost proposal at the 3.83%, meeting all of our requirements that the loan's prepayable at any time, that it's an 18-month drawdown. So of all the proposals that we received, we're recommending the First National Bank proposal. The next schedule shows the debt service schedule that if, in fact, all of the money was drawn down and the loan was outstanding for the next 10 years, this is what the annual payments would be on this. Again, we don't expect that to be the case, but we have to run this schedule to submit it for approval to the state. So So this is run at the max rate of the 3.83, and this again assumes that you were to draw the entire $1,550,000 down. The next page has the breakdown of the sources and uses, the cost of putting the transaction together. We estimated, we had to put some number out there when we did the proposal, at $50,000 of the issuance cost. That's why it's $1,550,000. You can see that the issuance cost for $30,000. So the amount that's actually available is the $1,519,000, but there's no expectation that that would be drawn down. It's just we had to have some amount, and again, it's not like you're paying interest expense on this. As long as you don't draw it down, it's just there in case you were to need it. The final couple pages are the actual proposal that we received from First National Bank, and you may recall that they were also provided the winning proposal on the $550,000 for the Caracas project, so they seem to like providing loans to their township. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. We have also, as soon as we determined that this was the winning proposal, we sent it to your bond council. They've also reviewed the proposal, and it meets all the requirements.
Very good. Are there any questions for bond council? Hearing none, is there a motion? Moved by Ms. Court.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda, excuse me, is C1 through 41. Public meeting notice prior to considering a cable franchise renewal agreement with Comcast. Mr. Nagley or Mr. Yost?
I'll start. Mr. Chairman. This franchise agreement between the Township of Gary and Comcast has expired. The Township of Comcast would like to renew the agreement. Prior to the board taking action, a public comment period is required. New agreements for 10 years. It says the franchise fee is 5%. It requires Comcast to provide free services to community facilities. I'll turn over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Nagley. And I am required to read a statement on this topic. This is a public meeting of the Township Board of Supervisors regarding cable franchise renewal for the Township of Derry. This public meeting is held pursuant to Section 626 of the Federal Cable Act, which sets forth the process for franchise renewal. The Township's current franchise with Comcast will expire soon, and the Township is beginning the process of renewing the franchise. This public meeting is part of the preliminary option of the franchise renewal, in which the Township reviews the cable operator's past performance and identifies the Township's future cable-related community needs. As such, as part of this public meeting, we invite comments from any citizens who wish to speak regarding either or both aforementioned subject. Franchise renewal is the best opportunity for the municipalities to assert their rights with respect to their cable operator and to obtain important benefits in return for granting cable operators the right to use their public right-of-ways. These benefits include state-of-the-art cable system, now and in the future, strong customer service standards, free services to community facilities, better reporting requirements from cable operators, maximized franchise fees, franchise grant, and education and governmental EG channel, legal protections of the right-of-ways, and better mechanisms to enforce the franchise agreement. These are just some of the potential benefits available through franchise renewal. Citizens may address these or any other cable-related items that are important to them. We will now open the meeting to the citizens. So if any of you have a desire to speak on this specific topic, the Comcast franchise renewal, please step to the podium.
I just have a question.
You are astounding. Go ahead. Get to the microphone.
I'm usually looking at the financial and everything. We're talking about a 10-year contract. Are there any competitive basis for these? Like, for example, do we have to go with Comcast? Could Verizon also put in for...
We also have a Verizon franchise. Right now, you have the opportunity to go with Comcast or Verizon.
Okay.
We have a franchise agreement with Verizon. That only expires in a year or so. This agreement is expired. So that's why we're doing this. But you have the opportunity to use Comcast or Verizon.
Are there any other companies that are involved?
Well, the Dish, like a Dish or something like that, they don't have the line.
Dish couldn't give you what you need. I know that.
I don't know any of the companies, they're the primary suppliers.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know of another.
No.
So your franchise with both of them?
Yes.
That's my question.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments?
I want to make a comment on a township. You know, this, I think it's one of the best townships in the country. Why are we using money that's being borrowed? Don't you guys know how to run a budget?
Mr. Moore, this is limited strictly to the Comcast cable contract. You get 3 minutes at the end of the meeting. Are there any other questions or comments?
You mean anything other than the general complaint that my cable bill's too high?
Hearing nothing further, is there a motion for this agreement? Second. Okay, moved by Mr. Weir, second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. Next is D1-10, extension of conditional approval of the preliminary final land development plan for Hershey's Chocolate World Employee Satellite Parking Phase 1, plat number 1154. Mr. Emmerich, if I could jump in here.
Yes.
This is just a renewal of an existing, or an extension of an existing approval, correct?
That is correct, with conditions listed A through G as in my staff comments.
And has anything changed?
No. Well, Park Boulevard is there now, shown in red. But other than that, no, nothing's changed.
Are there any questions from the board members? Is it ever going to get built?
Pardon?
Is it ever going to get built?
This was first approved in 08.
Yeah.
They've asked to continue it on the books.
Yeah.
So maybe.
Maybe. We don't have any reason to believe it's going to be built in near term. Right?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, in the next year, it'll be in for another extension.
With that, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court. I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. Next is E1-18, the preliminary final land development plan for 102 Reese Avenue, plat 1278. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. This plan represents the construction of a new two-story mixed-use building containing an 8,809 square foot personal service establishment, which is slated to be a day spa and beauty salon on the first floor, and a 2,120 square foot apartment dwelling on the second floor. The existing building and barn will be torn down in this property, and this is the property that's located at the corner of Hockersville, Chocolate, and Reese Avenue. The zoning hearing board granted relief for multiple aspects of this proposal, with the last relief being granted June 13, 2017, with the condition that the plans need to be submitted to be held, so that relief is still valid. This plan is being reviewed under the 1993 zoning ordinance, the prior zoning ordinance, because of that zoning hearing locking this project into that set of documents. The applicant's proposing sidewalk improvements to provide pedestrians easier access to the crosswalks at the intersection of Hockersville Road and West Chocolate Avenue. Per the comments of Chris Brown and the Township Planning Commission, the sidewalk is also proposed to extend north and west along Reese Avenue frontage, terminating at the eastern end of the building, as shown on the plan that's projected on the screen. The remaining sidewalk along Reese Avenue is recommended for deferral. Subsurface infiltration system will be providing the stormwater control for this property. One of the things that they had gotten was additional impervious coverage, allowing a coverage of 77% on this lot, where 60% was permitted in 1993. It's important to point out that under our present zoning, 85% coverage would be permitted on this lot. So it's within what we would expect under present zoning. They have a handful of waivers that are enumerated in the staff comments. In most cases, but any of them that weren't withdrawn are recommended for approval. I'm going to highlight two of them. One of them is the installation of sidewalks. They're asking for a waiver along West Chocolate Avenue frontage, so that's along the area from the corner to the billboard, if you will. In that case, we're recommending a fee in lieu of we don't ever see sidewalk being built along that section. The applicant has offered the fee. That fee will be $5,564.50. For the remainder of the sidewalk that would extend from the eastern side of the home west towards the Reese plant, we're suggesting that be continued to be deferred, perchance that some things happen down the line that would increase or lengthen that sidewalk. If you recall, on the opposite side of the road for the lodge, we did waive sidewalk on the lodge's side, figuring that the pedestrian corridor would lead to friendlies. So we are recommending approval of Plat 1278 with the following conditions. That by January 19, 2018, the applicant reimbursed the township for the cost incurred in reviewing the plan. That the following items happen by June 19, 2018, that performance security is provided to guarantee the completion of the requirements, that the $5,564.50 fee in lieu of for the sidewalk construction along West Chocolate Avenue is provided, that two original signed and notarized operation and maintenance agreements are provided, that the two originals of the signed and notarized agreement for the deferment of the installation of curbing and sidewalk are provided, that the comments in the December 4th, 2017 HRG letter are addressed, and that the draft of the revised property deed be provided with our standard language. And finally, that the draft of the deed of dedication for the traffic pedestrian easement is provided also by June 19th. And then the following three conditions: that the stormwater DMP operation maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, that the deed of dedication for the traffic pedestrian easement is recorded concurrently with the plan, and that the agreement for the deferment of the installation of curbing and sidewalk is recorded concurrently with the plan.
Thank you, Mr. Ebert. Are there any questions for Chuck?
Chuck, are there three buildings on this now?
There's two. There's the old Testa House. And the red barn. The white house is actually on its... Well, I'm sorry, I think this is next to Nardo's little building that's behind the billboard there. That's the next property. So this property just has two structures on it today.
And there's no changes from the last time we heard this, correct? That was probably about a year and a half ago.
Wow. That's a great question. I'm not really sure. I think last time that this was before the board, what was this before the board for? Be sure you didn't come to a zoning hearing.
It was part of design for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is in the chocolate. Yes, thank you. This is in the Chocolate Avenue overlay district, so both the demolition of the old buildings and the construction of the new building were approved by this board. Yes, this is that same plan. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The front of this building is going to be on Reese Avenue.
The front of the building is really going to be facing Hawkersville mostly from what we've seen.
Okay, and because the parking garage is to the left segment.
The parking spaces.
Parking spaces.
Are in this area. I might be able to find just a little bit better.
But that answers my question, because I was wondering, since it's going to be a commercial enterprise and presumably going to have some foot traffic in and out of it, whether we wanted to address the sidewalk issue in the way we proposed, but if the entrance is actually on the side there.
Right. The entrance will be
right there, yeah.
In this area.
Okay.
And yeah, we are getting some pretty substantial pedestrian improvements as part of this project, as you can see, with a handicap accessible ramp at each corner, and then, of course, ramps crossing the driveway.
Yeah, and that is fairly extensive. But if you don't mind, just give me the reason why you wouldn't continue the sidewalk up to the next property.
Here?
Yeah.
It has to do in some ways with the driveway that goes... That'll feed the garage that's under this building and some of the grades that are there.
Okay.
It would not be an accessible sidewalk under this proposal. So we would think that something different might happen. We wanted to at least be able to get to this front door. We wanted to defer this to see if something would happen on this side, or if we would, you know, we don't like to do mid-block crosses. And when you look at the topography at the opposite corner, it's mighty steep. And if you recall, over in the other corner, there's like a little blockade at the end of the sidewalk because it's elevated about 6 feet above the.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pavement. But there's still another property there.
Yeah,
to the west, yeah.
So if somebody buys that property to the west and they want to walk and use the improvements at that intersection, we're not creating connectivity. So
no.
So wait, you're saying that you can't put a sidewalk in if the slopes are greater?
For ADA accessibility, you can follow the grade of a road with a sidewalk no matter what that grade is.
Yeah.
If you're not following the grade of the road, then it must meet accessible requirement.
Okay, doesn't that follow the grade of the road ultimately?
No, because of the grading that they proposed. Here where you see it's getting tighter, the contours are getting tighter as it's coming up to the building.
Because that was my concern, Justin, that connectivity, if something was developed west of that, you would have a gap there.
And with the deferment agreement, that entitles the supervisors to pull that agreement if something does happen to the west and fill that gap.
Have we ever done that?
I think we did it over by Cocoplex. It's the only time that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm.
Well, we would have that opportunity then to fill that gap if the need arose.
Right. And so we wanted to make sure we had connectivity to this building. When you think of the size of this project and the encumbrances on this piece of property, you know that the front setbacks overlap this property on each side.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that they're able to develop it as it is, and it's at a fairly high cost. They have provided our connectivity at the intersection. We more or less pushed them to get connected to their door.
Yeah.
That's why staff is recommending. You know, seeing some of the things that happen, you know, along the way.
So it's like a reasonableness test, right? The community does pick. I mean, in my opinion, it will be an asset. So that corner will look nice.
It will.
And it hasn't looked nice for a long time.
No.
Are there any additional questions?
So the stormwater, Chuck, where do they have space for stormwater? It can be infiltrated.
It will be. That's the other plan that I had. Okay, so they're looking at an infiltration bed under the parking lot. A small one. When you think about what's on this property today, there is a bit of impervious till you get done with the few parking spaces, the house, and the barn. So they really have to provide stormwater for the additional impervious area. So, you know, I guess as in the scope of things, it's a tiny lot. It's a tough lot to develop, as I've said. That's the size of the infiltration that would be proposed to manage the stormwater.
Thank you.
Last call. Any additional questions? Hearing none, is there a motion? Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously approved. Next on our agenda is F1-14, the preliminary final land development plan for the Tanger Atlas, plat number 1280. Mr. Emmerich, the applicant has requested this to be tabled?
They have. They've provided us the proper time extension for us to take action on the plan.
If there is no objection, I'll entertain a motion to table this.
No, can I make a comment about the plan?
Sure.
Because you're still working with them, they're planning to come back, right?
Yes, they've addressed all of our comments at this point. The issue that created tabling is evidently Tanger as a nationwide company has had issues in some easements that they've granted on their property where people are working in them over important holidays for a retail center. So they're trying to get some language approved related to easements. So other than that, but go ahead, yes.
So can you bring it up real quick? The only comment I'd make is that from a pedestrian access perspective, it's anybody who works on Northeast Drive or wants to go over Starbucks, it's rather treacherous as a pedestrian to walk. There's no sidewalks on Northeast Drive. There's no cross. There's no crosswalk. There's literally it's there's nothing. Yeah, it's rather dangerous. So with part of this plan, is there any potential to do something like that?
The Board of Supervisors would certainly have the ability to require it. I'm going to suppose that this site, as it sits there today, probably has a sidewalk deferment agreement on it, both for its frontage on Hershey Park Drive and its frontage on Northeast Drive.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that what we're looking at as part of this plan is actually collecting the fee in lieu of for the south side of Northeast Drive.
I noticed that.
To help fill gaps.
Which makes sense because
nobody's going to be walking there.
Right. So that way that helps us fill other gaps in the township.
Yeah.
I think that there could be some crosswalks installed. For the investment in this project, when you look at their 36 acres, when you look at their land mass and how much sidewalk would be required along Northeast Drive, unless the supervisors wanted to comprehensively put sidewalk along the north, and not you, but require the sidewalk to be installed, this didn't seem like, that seemed like a tipping point for this project, the cost of that sidewalk. So we're suggesting...
The cost of which sidewalk?
When we look at sidewalk on this property, the restaurant is sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
Their sidewalk frontage runs this entire length.
Right, and so the only thing I'm suggesting is right where Starbucks currently is. If you could put the pointer there. From there out to Northeast Drive. That right there, that throat, that's where it's really treacherous. So it's all vehicular, it's a curb. And there's not really a great place to walk in the grass. So I mean, is there any potential that are we deferring that area?
We are. You know, that's what we were recommending. It appears as though that there's enough flat land in there. I was trying to see where the basin sits. It appears as though there's enough flat land in there. I'm going to guess that the center would not be opposed to installing that piece of sidewalk, and I would take that back to them.
Yeah, even across, I mean, the Historical Society is right across the street, and then all the Northeast Drive properties. And then I guess I'd go a step further and say, if you're going to put that in, if there are deferments on the north side of Northeast Drive, then those would be good ones to call in, because there's people working over there that I'm sure would love to walk to Starbucks more often.
You're saying for properties along here?
Yeah.
What are you saying on the north side?
I'm sorry, on the south side.
On the south side.
Yeah.
I can review.
The north side gets really, it drops off into.
I'll pull something together.
Okay.
For that, I'm expecting this plan to come back in on January 23rd,
okay.
And I'll pull together a little study of sidewalks. I'm pretty sure that most of the properties there, with the possible exception of where the nursery is occupying today, I will bet you that most of those have a deferment.
Yeah, and then also it's worth looking at, I think with the new zoning, there's new opportunities for Pinehurst to develop too, right?
I know that things have been explored there.
Yeah, yes. So there's another opportunity to create, you know, a safe connection between Pinehurst and the Outlook.
So yeah, I will look at those. I'll talk to the applicant about the small extension of sidewalk. And I'll take a look at what the deferments are.
Thanks.
Okay, it's not all or nothing, right? I mean, we can require sidewalk from population center to the entranceway there, but not require all the way to the
wraparound, right?
Yeah.
Are there any additional questions?
Other than that, I'll move to table the
motion by Mr. Moyer, second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously approved and tabled. Next on our agenda is G, 1 through 2, Preliminary Final Land Development Plan for the Pennsylvania State University Milton S. Hershey Medical Center Children's Hospital, plat number 1285. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you. So this plan that they have, the pictorial representation of what the expansion is on the cover sheet of the drawings, really does the best job of showing what they're doing. Because as I would page through the drawings, all that you would see is an existing building and really, you know, they're building on top of it. They're putting in some fire tanks in this parking area, but this is, you know, mainly the area where they're putting a building on top. They're when they put in the fire tanks, they're going to return the pavement to what it was. So I guess for imagination's sake, that's what the project is, other than the fire tanks. So with that understanding, what's located on this property, when you think about it, is the main hospital, the Children's Hospital, Cancer Institute, Medical School, and related functions such as student housing. This is a three-story addition to the Children's Hospital. It will add 116,000 square feet of floor area. It will provide 124 new beds. It will provide 174 new employees. And as I've said already, the existing impervious coverage will not be changed. Their parking garage that exists on the property today has a surplus of 416 parking spaces, which will cover the 298 parking spaces required by this project. So again, they're not even expanding the parking. They're filling some of the surplus that they have. Stormwater management facilities are not required because they're not adding any new impervious area through here. When we looked at their traffic impact statements, they did an abridged study, if you will. They showed us that 90 a.m. peak hour trips and 87 p.m. peak hour trips will be generated from the expansion. Medical Center has cooperated with the township in the past to help solve some traffic issues in this area, and they continue to work with us on some other issues, some other incentives of the township. As a matter of fact, the traffic study that we talked about during the public hearing, the most recent one on Governor Rowe, they actually helped to fund that. This expansion, as I said, is providing the underground water tanks to meet their fire safety. We believe that that's appropriate. The applicant had applied for and received relief from the Zoning Hearing Board related to the penthouse structure on top of the building and its size, and it had to do with the height of the building, and penthouses permitted to go above that height. The applicant's requesting waivers of the subdivision and land development ordinance, and in each case, I would be happy to itemize them if you'd like, but in each case, we are recommending that the waivers be granted. I'd like to highlight one of those in that they've asked for relief from the traffic impact study, and although we looked at it slightly different at the Planning Commission meetings, staff is recommending that waiver be granted as we continue to look at ways to mitigate the traffic that we already know is bad in this area. We are recommending approval of plat 1285 with the following happening by January 19th, 2018, that the signed and sealed copy of the plan are provided to us, that the applicant reimbursed the township for the cost of review. Also then, the following items need addressed by June 19, 2018, that the performance security is provided to guarantee the installation of the required improvements, namely the fire tanks. That a letter from the Dauphin County Conservation District approving the erosion and sediment control plan is provided, that a copy of the MPDES permit is provided, and that they provide us with this CD of a DXF or ICAD file as is required by our ordinance. We're also recommending that the waivers be granted.
Are there any questions for Chuck? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
We got a move by Mr. Weir, second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously approved. Next is H1 through 12, consideration of revisions to the approved exterior finish of the proposed parking structure at the northeast corner of the intersection of West Chocolate Avenue and Ridge Road within the downtown core overlay district. Mr. Evans.
So as mentioned earlier, actually with the Reese Avenue project, this project was also already before the board because it involves some new structures. It involves the new structures proposed along Chocolate Avenue, and it also proposes this new parking structure. And what is on the screen right now is what both the design board and the Board of Supervisors had originally approved. It had some metal accents on the stair tower, some brick accents on the lower level, and I believe that this was concrete. As the project has proceeded, the applicant had asked to really face this entire parking structure with concrete, with either colored concrete or natural concrete. They had proposed to take the slate metal panels and replace those with charcoal precast concrete on the stair tower. On the upper precast area, they asked to go from natural concrete to slate-colored concrete. On the lower precast area, they asked to go from the thin red brick here shown to a natural-colored concrete as shown here. And then on the columns, they asked to go from the brick to a charcoal smooth concrete to help access the columns. They've given some reasons for the change that they're now proposing. Many of them have to do with the visibility of this garage from Chocolate Avenue or from Ridge Road. Some of it has to do with the cost. This project was in front of our design board last night, and what was discussed there resulted in this rendering that we received today for tonight's meeting. The design board is recommending all of the changes proposed to the upper level, to the stair tower, and to the piers. On the buildings out front, as you can see, just the corner of it here on the right side of the plan, there is some stone-looking material, some fake stone, that will be complementary to the existing abattoir building. They are proposing that on the lower level as a negotiation through the design board at last evening's meeting. We are recommending that the board, along with the design board's recommendation, approve this modification.
Thank you, Jeff. Are there any questions from the board members?
No, I just make a general comment. Ed, thanks for turning that around so fast. I think it looks nice. So, yeah.
It's a good conversation last night.
Excellent.
With that, is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously approved. Next on the agenda is I 1-18, consideration of resolution 1544, which would revise, restate, and establish certain fees under building codes, zoning codes, subdivision and land development codes, stormwater management codes, and other miscellaneous fees and charges for services provided by community development personnel. Mr. Emmerich.
So, although I've summarized in the agenda item everything that's changed, if you looked at it, there's very minor changes throughout the fee schedule. We review our fee schedule annually and have for the last 6, 7, maybe 8 years, just to make sure that we're in step with the times. Some of the changes proposed are related to changing our sewage enforcement officer or fees that have been raised by the Penn State Department of Labor and Industry. The only fee that raised in any substance on this is we are often requested to do zoning compliance letters. Some of those letters are, is my use permitted and can't be rebuilt? Those are rather simple. We've charged $25 for those. Those are, you know, end user fees, a simple thing. Some of these as of late have gotten into are there toxins on the property, how many waivers were granted. For those zoning verification or site verification letters, we're going to now start charging $50 to help cover our fees. Some of those can lead to 3, 4, 5 hours worth of research to answer the questions. I think the $50 fee is still rather modest, but just But otherwise, there's been no real change in the consumer price index that would cause us to comprehensively raise our fees. So with that, I'm asking you to adopt this resolution 1544.
Any other questions for Chuck? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
By Ms. Court, second by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that motion is unanimously approved. Next on the agenda is J, 1 through 4, consideration of resolution number 1545, which would revise the reimbursement fee schedule rates for the township engineer related to reimbursement for the provisions of the subdivision, the land development ordinance, and the stormwater management ordinance. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. Both this resolution 1545 and resolution 1546, which is for the township planning consultant, are resolutions to address modest increases in the pass-through costs that the consultants charge for review of plans in the township. So if I could just summarize both of those in that fashion, we're looking for adoption of resolution 1545 and 1546 to cover the pass-through costs of the consultants.
Fantastic.
Sure. Okay. I was just asking if you could clarify what is meant by pass-through costs.
So when a land development plan is reviewed by HRG, they keep track of their time. When I'm talking about being reimbursed for review fees by certain dates on the land development plan, it is reimbursement for those fees. When the plans are submitted, we collect an escrow to help cover those to make sure they're paid. If the project runs for a long time, we will bill as we get bills from HRG. We pay the bills, bill the applicant reimburses us.
Thank you.
Or for Dirk and Edson.
But you can only, correct me if I'm wrong, you can only pass through after a formal submittal is made.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that's what these resolutions are needed for.
Right. So I guess the only thing I would add there is just with regard to the town planner, there is those situations where when a project is first brought to you that it may be impossible to pass that through. And I guess it's sort of up to the applicant at this point, and I guess I would just sort of go on record as saying I think that the board, I don't want to speak for it, feel free to weigh in, but we're in favor of the planner being involved on all those from the beginning, all those types of meetings. So I don't know where that comes from, whether it comes from your budget, whether it comes from our budget, but I think that we're in favor of the town planner, whether it's Dirk and Edson or whoever it is, sort of being involved in projects from the very beginning. Am I correct in that?
I would agree. I mean, I have such a long standing ahead of me, so yes, I'm in favor.
I mean,
but is the fee increase being addressed right now also include that type of consultation?
It really doesn't. And well, that the question becomes sort of who pays for that?
Right.
But whose budget does that get?
Right. And so my understanding from Chuck's description was that the fee increase would only be for pass-through costs.
That's right.
Not our collective cost.
But does this apply to their hourly rate? Or does this apply?
I am 99% sure that the rate that we pay each of these consultants is the same as we're adopting in this resolution.
It's
not a different rate, no matter, it's just that the resolution is required to work with the subdivision land development ordinance. The way that we've handled some of those early meetings is if it's a planning meeting, we bring the planner in, and it's typically come out of the supervisor's budget. As the project starts to get traction and the applicant is starting to ask for the planner to be there, I'm starting to ask for reimbursement. The planner, or if they want to talk about stormwater, often they want to do that just before submission, just before we, if you will, have them on the hook to reimburse us. In those cases, I will typically get an email from the applicant stating that they are willing to reimburse us for that hour meeting or 2 hour meeting. So that's kind of been the path between the two. If it's a front-end planning that's been paid for by the township, as the project really starts to get traction,
okay,
we've tried to get reimbursement.
Yes, it's just, I would want to reinforce that it's, my belief, and I think the board's belief, that when you bring more eyes and more planning
expertise on that front end, great changes are made at a low cost.
I think we just saw that at our last meeting.
Yeah, whereas if you let them go, then, well, you might be able to make, you might not, then you have to weigh much bigger cost. And so I think it's, I think from a township perspective, it costs us a lot more when we don't involve a planner from the beginning. So, I mean, I kind of encourage Chuck that on projects that come in, he shouldn't be worrying about where the planner's fee is being paid from. I mean, does the board agree with that notion?
Yeah, generally, yes, but I don't want to check.
Right, I mean, there's a budget for that.
Yeah. So let me put it this way, too. We have a community, we don't have a town planner on staff.
Right.
And we're not big enough to have a town planner on staff. But yet, I think over the past several years, we've all identified that planning, having a planner involved in our processes is important, and that we've gotten better products. We've worked more collaboratively. We've looked at projects higher level, not just how that project, like how that project affects the neighboring properties. And so I mean, it just goes along with what I think this board's emphasis has been on more planning, smarter planning, not just engineering specific sites. And when the only way to do that is to be involved with projects early on. So that's the point I'm getting to.
I don't think anybody's disagreeing with that. I just don't know that we're tonight talking about what our overall budget is for that and where it comes from. That's a great conversation to have. Maybe we should talk about that in more depth at another point.
Yeah, I think we have talked about that a lot over the years. This just had to do with where gesturing passed through, and I just brought up something.
Do we have a pre-meeting with any public developer with that done?
We don't have a required pre-application meeting.
If you did, that would be the time I said you were doing that on behalf of the developer. You may have to any questions and ask anything else before then. Once he's ready to get serious about it, sit down with the board, you may want to consider a pre-app process. At that point, then I think you could justify whoever it is that would be replaced. Planners about to do that. The engineer from that point of view involved, whoever's involved in it, can help them to get ready to submit their application. But if you're doing that, they have the application. And it's fairly early in the process. And it's just a suggestion.
With all that being said, are there additional questions, concerns? And if not, is there a motion?
Separate or together?
Well, I will be more than happy to breeze. I think for Jill's edification, we'll do it one by one, but I will breeze right through these and the next three after that, too.
I'll make the motion for 1545.
So. This is with regard to J1 through 4. Motion by Susan. Is there a second? I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously passed. Next is K1 through 4, consideration of Resolution 1546, which revises the schedule of reimbursable fees for the services provided by the Township Planning Consultant Durkin Edson under the provisions of the Subdivision and Land Development Ordinance. We just went over this. Is there are there any questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved.
By Ms. Court. For a second. I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that unanimously was approved.
Slowly.
Wow, this is a participative event. Next is L1 through 4, reduction of the performance security provided to the final land development plan for 555 East Chocolate Avenue, Plat 2, number 1272. Mr. Emmett, housekeeping.
It is.
So moved. Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion is unanimously approved. Next is M-134, reduction of performance security provided for the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Mescalis property, plat number 1269. This is housekeeping also. Is there a move? Moved by Mr. Weir.
Second.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. The next is N-1-2, consideration of the release of performance security provided for the demolition of the single-family dwelling at 890 Hill Church Road, Holmestown. This is ordinary housekeeping.
It is. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yep. Is there a motion?
So
moved. Moved by Mr. Moyer.
I'll second it.
Second by Ms. Court. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that is unanimously approved. Next is O-1, request to hold the 2018 Hershey Art Fest and Flower Show on May 12, 2018. Chief Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 2018 Hershey Art Fest and Flower Show, which will be a fine art and craft festival in downtown Hershey, will boast about 150 artists, fine craftsmen, and food vendors. A family-friendly event will also include children's art activities, face painting, and local students' art on display. The Hershey Story, the museum on Chocolate Avenue. That's where those displays will be. Live entertainment will be featured throughout the day, and food and beverage options will be offered in a variety of locations. The event will expand, adding a flower show. The event is produced by Hershey Dairy Township's Historical Society. Admission will be free to the public. It will be necessary to close portions of Chocolate Avenue and Cocoa Avenue prior to, during, and shortly after the event. Detour routes will be planned, advertised, and properly signed during the closure. We will be using on-duty personnel, some community service officers, and possibly some outside assistance with traffic. Due to the number of traffic control points of the closures, obviously, we might be having to use some off-duty officers as well. The Historical Society has acknowledged and agreed to the township reimbursement policy. This has been reviewed by the Traffic Safety Unit and the administration, and is recommended for approval.
Very good. Are there any questions for the chief?
What parts of Chocolate are being closed?
It'll be more of the eastbound side of Chocolate, so the south side of Chocolate. So not all of Chocolate will be closed at certain locations. The one that's actually going to be totally closed off will be Cocoa Avenue between Caracas and Chocolate Avenue.
Right. So this is, most people know this is not produced by a historical society, or it's being produced by them this year, but in the past it's been a joint venture between DHA and the historical society. Was the DHA employed the historical society to do something downtown? The two groups, the DHA decided not to pursue this with the historical society this year. The historical society decided to do it downtown, but one of the problems that came up last year was that I think it was the DHA's position that this event could go on without closing Chocolate Avenue. And that was the desire, that if because we did close Chocolate Avenue before, and it was extremely disruptive, and we got a lot of comments from people that, you know, it's a tourist town, it's the weekend before Memorial Day, and if you don't need to close Chocolate Avenue, why would you close Chocolate Avenue? And so last year we didn't close Chocolate Avenue, we had space, but so I guess I'd just be curious to know, as a board, ultimately this comes back to us. It usually comes back to the DHA, even though they wouldn't be involved with it this year. But I mean, is it something that we have to close Chocolate Avenue for? Does anybody have any feedback on that?
How much bigger do we anticipate this being than last year? Because every year, I mean, this is such an incredible event. It seems like it's just growing in popularity every year.
Well, that's about what it was last year, from what I understand. But it rained so a lot, so
right.
You know, there wasn't as much people showing up. But the point is, I think that there's lots of room to grow it, but not out of Chocolate Avenue.
there's Krakus, there's other opportunities to grow it that wouldn't be, and theoretically, if it's an event that is, you know, oftentimes art shows grow in hours too, so it might start out as 5 or 6 hours and might grow into something that's longer or multiple days in the future. Obviously, we can't close down shop without it for multiple days.
Right.
So that was kind of the view of the DHA.
Do you think it'd be as successful if it's not on a single thoroughfare as in the past?
Well, that's how we did it last year.
It branches off, and
yeah,
you know, with the weather, it's kind of hard to gauge the popularity, but.
And I think the second year.
Was the second year branch off?
I can't remember if it was closed.
I thought it was when one thoroughfare.
Yeah. The second year we closed Coco, and we also had a portion of Chocolate Avenue closed between Ridge and Linden.
Right.
And what we found there was that it was extremely difficult to just close that portion of Chocolate and then have the other part of the event occurring over here because of the choke points in front of the church.
Right.
And then last year, Justin mentioned, we had only closed Coco. We found that we were able to accommodate over 150 vendors with only closing Coco without closing Chocolate. And that was partially based on feedback from Garth and his department in terms of their preference that we only closed one or the other, and it was preferable to close Coco. The DHA was supportive of that because of the number of comments that we received the previous year regarding traffic backups and just people having issues getting into town to try to attend the event. And our experience is that we want to provide a positive, memorable experience when people are here, and if they're, you know, really dealing with that many struggles just to get to the event, we're not providing a positive experience. Sorry, I just realized my mic was on for any of that.
So, may I interject something here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, with these authorizations for the event and obtaining the permits, what we usually try to do is encompass what could possibly be needed as far as closures, and then we usually provide plan B, sometimes plan C, as far as scaling back something or changing something. We can't go small and expand it, but we can go big, plan for some closures, but if it at a certain point, if it's decided maybe we shouldn't close that down, it's very easy to modify our plan and not close something down and keep it open. So
I mean, that's a good point, but I think the question is whether Chocolate needs to be closed. And I guess that it was the view of the Downtown Hershey Association, which really has been organizing events in downtown now for a couple of years. It was the perspective that we did that, people complained, and there's lots of room for expansion without closing Chocolate Avenue. And, you know, there's members of HENR on the organizing committee for DHA, so obviously they were in the loop. So I'd be curious if HENR's, you know, it's really a community decision, it's a community effort, and so that's one thing the DHA has always done, is brought forward the community. It was very collaborative, so I guess has this been vetted by HENR? So, I mean, those are just some of the issues. But I think what it comes down to is, do we need to close Chocolate Avenue?
Do we have a timeline on which this must be decided?
Well, is there any reason we can't approve the event with asking the chief to work out the logistics of the roadway and how they're going to lay it out?
Again, it comes down to whether we are for or against closing Chocolate Avenue. Because in other words, the Historical Society wants to close Chocolate Avenue. So if, you know, that becomes, at this point, if we include Chocolate Avenue, then Chocolate Avenue may be closed. If we don't have a problem with it, well, then we just proceed. But if there's a philosophical feeling that we haven't collaborated enough and we're going to get feedback from the community that Chocolate Avenue doesn't need to be closed, I think we probably should remove that from the request.
I think it's tough for us too. I mean, certainly we've seen this event evolve over the last few years. and I think everybody wants it to be successful for our community, but as a board, it's kind of hard to sit up here and say, well, for this event, Chocolate Avenue should be closed, but for this one, it shouldn't be, and for this one, we think this road. So I'm not sure what criteria we're using to determine whether this event or any event needs to have a road closure or not. I mean, I would hope that with the chief and the applicant that they can kind of work out those details. I mean, obviously, the fewer times we have to close down a road in our community, the better. But we do that for New Year's Eve in Hershey, and we do it for other things. I feel like we're approving things like this runs and different things. So, I mean, I don't know, Garth, can you remember back a couple years ago? I mean, did it cause a challenge?
Road closure has always caused a challenge, no matter if it's parade or anything like that. I mean, it's always going to cause a challenge. But I'm still coming back to the fact that, you know, we can always scale something back. It's always harder to go back and make it larger and ask for additional road closures. So. And we do this with, like, New Year's Eve. We'll ask to close the roadway down early, but we might not close it down until a little bit later. So we make our notifications a little bit later, and we do different things based on our needs. So that's the reason that we kind of plan for this closure. But obviously, if we don't need to do it, and something can be moved around, and things can be changed, our main aspect is safety. So if we have people in that park and it's that crowded and we have proximity to Chocolate Avenue, where we may just need to close down a right lane or something like that, you know, we do that instead of a full closure. So it all depends on the event itself, how big it's going to be, and what safety concerns we need to look at.
So, but you're not going to be involved with the layout of the event, right?
So as far as where the stands are going to be,
yeah,
and so forth, no, that's not in our purview.
That's what drives whether it's open or closed.
But the whole scope of the event, if they say we're going to fill up these areas and we're going to be, you know, this is how many people we're expecting, and this footprint is going to be full of people, then we have to plan our closures to ensure the safety of those people.
Mm-hmm. But to your point, Justin, if we close Chocolate, will the Historical Society plan the event with that in mind, such that if we wanted to not close it, it will cause them significant extra work in order to adjust things?
Well, I think it's the layout of the event. If you say we're not going to close Chocolate Avenue, then the event will be planned, and there's plenty of room to plan it. I mean, it was done last year.
Yeah,
but the last thing you want to do is close Chocolate Avenue when it doesn't need to be closed.
Okay, but we did that a couple years ago when the DHA and the Historical Society did it together. So
that's right. We got a lot of complaints. That's why.
Well, but do you guys, like, when we're closing it down for the road races, I mean, are you guys in the... how that's handled? I mean, it's a closure.
I don't understand what your question was.
Well, I mean, there was a question with regard to if you close a road, are you involved in where booths or displays or any of those things are going to be? We're not doing that in road races. I don't think you are.
Yeah, we just...
We
figure out what the footprint is going to be and what traffic control points we're going to need to make sure the traffic is not getting into that area and there's going to be a lot of conflict with pedestrians.
Yeah, the closure time for a road race is probably a couple hours.
Right. Half marathon? No.
Yeah, half marathon is a...
It starts
in
the
6 plus.
Yeah. But it's open within 2 hours.
Like New Year's Eve detail, things like that, the parades, it's... We just want to make sure that whatever area is being used for that event, that we're not having close proximity conflicts with traffic and people.
Right.
Understood.
Exactly. And that was the thinking with the
DHA. I've seen your hand jumping up, and I know you're involved in
some aspect of this, so fire away.
Todd Bagarulo, 321 Concord Court. I'm Vice President of the Historical Society. We'll gladly work in the footprint that was established last year, but as a public safety professional, and John, as you are, and obviously with the chief, I agree with him. We do the most extensive we can get away with, and obviously we'll keep it within the footprint, but the day of, we want some flexibility if something would happen. But we'll stay within the footprint of what it was last year. And if you remember last year, the egress on the Chaffet and the coming on to Cocoa Avenue was closed. And we had worked very closely with Darren, Officer Cotton, on those road closures to make sure everything's fine. I've worked with Darren in the past. We can make this work.
So Chaffet will stay open.
Chaffet will stay open, and like I said, but I prefer to plan for the worst case scenario.
Okay, good.
Thank you. If I may also ask, Chairman Foley, we will miss you very deeply.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And that was, when you lassoed me, it was just two meetings a month and maybe an hour here or there. I forget, it was so long ago. I did that justice here. With that, is there a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Mr. Engel. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. Next is our correspondence board and committee information. To my left, Mr. Moyer.
Nothing.
Mr. Weir.
Nothing.
I have nothing. Ms. Court.
Thank you for your 6 years of service.
Thank you.
Yeah, John, thank you.
See, I wasn't going to get that far. Anyway, next is our, I'll make some comments later. Department reports. Chief, sorry.
Nothing further tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Sasso with the fire company.
Just to wish the board a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and thank you for a great year.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Mr. Piccolo.
Nothing from Public Works, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So great to the library.
We've got our Muppet Christmas Carol showing this Thursday, so come in your pajamas and you'll get popcorn.
I am looking forward to seeing Mr. Nagley there.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I cannot.
Get the popcorn.
Every meeting I actually have to say.
But I have no report.
Thank you, Mr. Mandia.
Nothing to see. Thank you.
You're not Mr. Bonanno, but anything from HRC?
No report tonight, but I want to wish everybody happy holidays.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Emery.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, sorry. Just a quick note that our Downtown Hershey Pedestrian Improvements Project was selected to receive funding through the Transportation Alternative Set-Aside Program. We're receiving the full amount requested, which was $481,850. That project will provide us with widened sidewalks with brick paver strip along Chocolate Avenue in certain sections, as well as some of the high-visibility stamtrails and crosswalks on Caraxet Avenue at Valley Ridge and Linden Road intersections, ADA ramps where applicable, a couple bike racks, and shade trees as necessary.
Thank you.
Great news.
Yes, congratulations.
Thanks.
It's fabulous news.
It's a huge, huge event.
It really is. Yeah. And we obviously have to figure out where the engineering dollars come from. Mm-hmm. And that's funny. And that is, I don't think it's out of the question that there's the potential for DHA to have some involvement there. But with this post office project, we've seen so many people talking about chains and really a lot of complaints about chains. And really, Caracas represents the opportunity to get more mom and pop business.
Yeah,
because it's zoned for it. And so these improvements to the crosswalks on Caracas will help to make that happen.
Pretty good. Mrs. Henry.
Nothing. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Mr. Dayton.
Yes. On behalf of all our township staff, we want to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your 6 years of really dedicated service. You've been outstanding. I certainly enjoyed working with you, and I'm sure all our staff did too. So I thank you personally.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
7 o'clock this morning, and we chatted briefly. It has been an honor for me and a privilege. This was really a mission as it relates to carrying on the legacy of Mr. Hershey and just ensuring that his vision carries on. And it for me was something had more to do with being a Milton Hershey graduate than anything. And politics were not necessarily in my blood. It certainly seemed that way. But really the biggest thing is it's not really about talking about all the great achievements I may think we did or disagreed with or didn't get this done. It is really about the people that we're able to help and serve, the tremendous volunteers that we have in our community. None of anything could have happened without our staff. And quite honestly, you guys make us look great. So thank you, staff, for everything you do. Truly, it is a lot of work. It is no small secret that we are financially in probably the top 5 municipalities in the Commonwealth. And for that, we kind of all get to tip our hat at our manager, Mr. Nagley, and the things that he helps us guides us in helping us do. So give me one second, Mr. Moyer. But it's been my privilege, it's been an honor to be able to serve the community as I have, and I look forward to continuing that in some form or fashion in the future. So thank you all very much. Next on our agenda. The approval of accounts payable in the amount of $287,166.42 and payroll in the amount of $321,402.02. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court. I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
And that motion is unanimously approved. And our final visitor of public comment, if you're interested, step to the podium. Same rules apply.
If we're so good in the township financially, why are you using debt? Why don't you learn to live within a reasonable budget instead of trying to get more tax money like this rain tax? And you're talking about the debt. Somebody's talking that you have to borrow money. Why don't you learn to run a budget without debt? Us little guys, we do. I mean, at least I do.
We're not quite as fortunate as you, but we appreciate your thoughts.
But I mean, I don't think we should be, the township will just be topped off. That's fine. But they should not be spending money that they don't have. We should not be in debt. Because someday it's going to bite us. I may not live to see it, but it will get us one day. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
John, I couldn't let you get away without one more last night. Okay, John, I want to say this very seriously. It's been fun working with you. I've learned a lot about you. We shared a lot of thoughts. And, of course, I run into you at the Giant frequently. So I look forward to seeing you over there. We can talk some more.
Thanks
for the work you've done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. That's important.
Always.
All right.
Talk to anybody.
All right. And just one other thing to reinforce what I was saying about North Hawkinsville Road and Reese Avenue. Now with the latest plan that was presented tonight, there's the definition why that needs to be stopped at the end, we'll call that on the north side of Reese Avenue, because if cars are going to be coming and trying to get into that establishment, they'll be sitting out on 422 waiting to get in there, because they really block that intersection very seriously. I mean, in the morning, I go out there between 6:30, and I don't even come up half street. I go all the way out around Railroad and out by Reese's Day, because otherwise, you can't get through there.
So, Mr. Cameron, let me just ask you. You're saying that there would then be 3 stop signs at each?
No. When you're coming down, heading south on Hockerville Road, when you get to the testing place, mm-hmm. Okay, I'm saying stop at the edge. Would be on the north side of Reese Avenue,
mm-hmm.
because when they go past Reese Avenue, the stacking, when you get to where the crosswalk is there at 422, there's only room for one car, and then somebody will come out from Reese's and turn in there, block it, or somebody will come down the hill and try to get a second car in there and block it, or somebody will come out 2nd Street and make the turn and block it. So you could have 3 cars there, people coming west on 422, take the exit, but they can't get across to go to Reese's.
Okay.
And the people coming down from Reese's in the morning trying to get across to go down 2nd Street, they can't can't get down, or they're trying to get down to get the traffic, they can't get down. So I think I'm putting the stop back, totally out of that intersection where the three roads come together. I think that would be better traffic control. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hale. Mr. Stein.
Yes, John, I wanted to just echo everyone else's comments and just come here personally tonight and thank you for your service. I think everyone in the room recognizes the hours, not just you, but the entire board puts in. I hope my schedule can be open to come in and thank the rest of you when your terms expire. But thank you, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You've been a great partner. Seeing no one else, I will make the motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Everybody. We're adjourned. Merry Christmas, folks. Have a great holiday. Thank you. That's my worst time.
We have another meeting. Oh, with our schedule change. Yeah.